at some point yourself. And you know people who probably are broken and definitely know people who have been broken. Man, let me just remind you that God's heart is to heal the brokenhearted and to take people whose lives have been shattered, to take those who have been broken and to turn them around. And let me just remind you that there is a huge spiritual battle that rages that we cannot see. It is real. And the tactic and plan of the enemy is to break people, to humiliate them, to make them look stupid, to exploit them. I hate it. Okay, Wednesday nights are our core people, right? Y'all gonna have to answer yes or no. Because I know this is going out online. I don't want this archive, Taylor. Okay? I'm serious. I really don't even want it broadcast. So I've been in a season of praying and fasting that they may actually not be that far off. It just may manifest itself in a different capacity in their life than the person that they're looking on with condemnation. So how should we? That's really the question. How should we handle people who are broken? Yeah. I've got 9 things. We're going to go through them quickly. Number 1, with compassion. Over and over, when Jesus met people who were broken and tormented, this is what it says, Matthew 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed, they were helpless. Matthew 14, Jesus saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. Matthew 20, Jesus had compassion on them. He touched their eyes, they received their sight, they followed him. How should we handle the broken? With compassion. That's convicting. It has been to me. Do I handle brokenness in the people around me with compassion? Am I able to look at that and have my heart moved because of what state they find themselves in, what circumstances are going on, or everything looks all right, but you just know that there's an issue of the heart where there's brokenness? How do we handle that? We have to have compassion. And to have compassion, you have to allow God to deal with your heart. And I come from a background where it's pretty stoic and it's pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you know, emotion is never to be relied upon for decision making and is skeptically looked at in all regards. It's a very Germanic way of looking at life, and it's not wrong. But if not countered with love, it's going to develop a heart that's hard. And a heart that's hard has very little capacity for compassion. God, soften our hearts. The second thing, how do we handle the broken? This is Ephesians 4. Here it is. Paul's writing this. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Let me remind you, you have been called by God. And I'm telling you, if you doubt that, let me just say this. This evening, God is calling out to you and says, I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. And look at what Paul writes. He says, always be humble and gentle. How should we handle the broken? With humility. But by the grace of God, that could be me sleeping on the front porch. But by the grace of God, I could have fallen into the very thing that I'm pointing a finger at. It's someone who, if I'm not careful, I'm looking at with condemnation and judgment and going, I can't believe, how messed up is that? If I'm not careful, that'll be me. I mean, the Bible's really clear. What goes before a fall? Do you know? The Bible says it very clearly. Pride goes before a fall. And anytime you look down your nose with condemnation at somebody else, you better watch out, because when you do that, you can't see your feet, and if you're not careful, you'll stumble and fall. Humility is huge. Jesus demonstrated that. The creator of the universe, the God of all, said, I didn't even come here for you to serve me. He's saying it's not about me. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life. It's not about me. Third thing, always be humble and gentle. You know, you can be firm and gentle. That was a revelation for me. You can be firm and you can be gentle. With someone who's broken, it's best for you to be quite gentle. Have you ever had, I don't know, something glass that you dropped and broke? Of course, I'm sure so. If I dropped this right here and it just broke everywhere, what I'd be like, I can't believe I'm a stupid broken thing. And yeah, what would happen if I did that? With people who are broken, come with compassion, humility, and gentleness. If someone's broken and hurt and wounded, the last thing they need is for somebody to come in, all right, let's get them to do this. Two things will happen. Number one, that person will either retreat further into their broken state or they're going to lash out. Either way, there's wounding that's going to take place. If they lash out, they're going to wound the person that's coming at them aggressively. If they retreat back, it's like being crushed even more and the wounding is on them. Be gentle. What else does it say? Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. How should we handle the broken? Compassion, humility, gentleness, patience. Patience. Man, I want people to be healed from their brokenness instantly, don't you? What? You've been messed up for how many years? You've gone through what? Man, that's terrible. All right, let's pray a prayer and then you're healed and done. And it's just not always the case. Oftentimes there's a process. There's a process to healing. Y'all remember Jesus with the 10 lepers? 10 guys are crying out to Jesus, hey, Jesus, heal us, heal us, heal us. He says, you're healed, but go. Show yourself to the priests. And it's on the way of going that they're healed. Sometimes it's a process. We have to be patient with people who are in that process. I just have a heart for people that have dealt with addiction. I've got a man that I love dearly. I mean, really love dearly. Just such an unbelievable call on his life. And I've said it over and over. He's one of the finest men that I know. When he's walking with God, he's a powerhouse. When he gives in to addiction, he's broken beyond belief. He just got out of a 3-year stint, a little over 3 years in prison. I'm so excited to see him, only to watch brokenness try and come back again in addiction. And I hate it. Something that we should all remember, God doesn't believe in lost causes. Neither should we. Have patience, pray it through. Make allowance for each other's faults. How many times should you make an allowance for each other's faults? I don't know, how many times has God made an allowance for your fault? Oh, plenty. Because of what? Because of what? Make allowance, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of love. How should we handle the broken? Love. Love isn't a feeling. There are feelings associated with love. How many of you remember the feelings of your significant other in the first time? Can you think back in your brain, even if you're a place where it's hard to currently feel that same euphoric feeling that you had when you first met, but can anybody conjure up the emotions that you felt when you were first with your significant other? I can. I would talk on the phone with my girlfriend, who is now my wife, for like 3 and 4 hours till like 2 in the morning. This is nothing short of a miracle because I've always gone to bed at like 9 o'clock, wake up early with the sun or before usually. Never stay up till 2 in the morning. And I hate talking on the phone. Thank the Lord they invented text messaging. I remember what it was like. Why did I do that? Because I was amazed at the person that had walked into my life. You've heard the expression, familiarity breeds contempt. With the people that are closest to you that are broken, you must ask God to give you compassion, to give you humility rather than frustration, to give you a spirit of gentleness rather than slap them around and go, what the heck are you thinking? To be patient with them. And here's the thing, to be loving towards them. To give love, just remember, to give love, you have to be able to receive it. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. How should we handle the broken? With unity. Man, four of us have been coming together and praying, and we've already seen two pretty unbelievable things happen. The second one I'm not going to tell you about, because it's still in the works, but it's pretty stinking awesome for somebody that I've been praying for months and months and months. That this is a tough case. That's all of the people on our prayer list are tough cases. Like, if this happened, that'd be pretty amazing. And out of the blue, like, God just shows up in this person's life. I'm like, what the heck? And guess how God manifested himself in the middle of a broken situation. I'm like, what in the world? How awesome is it? And that's because four people began to seek God together and say, listen, what are we doing here so early in the morning? I'm like, thank you, God. I have friends this early in the morning that'll get up. Nobody will get up with me. You know, from 4 to like 8, I'm totally friendless. That's 4 hours a day. I understand why those old men go drink coffee because they got no friends. Nobody get up with them at 4. When just four of us have decided to get together and pray for people, it's shocking what's taken place. And not even 2 weeks. A guy I've been praying for 3 months, when we all start praying, it's like, wow, what the heck? Because there's power together. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. We're running 600 people on Sundays. What if 600 of us got together and said, we're going to pray every day for the hard cases, for the people around us that we know are broken and broken bad? What would happen? I don't think that we'd be able to. I mean, it would change everything. We have to be people who come together and believe God and have a heart of compassion and believe that God can bind up those that are broken and heal them. Unity. Number 7. How should we handle the broken? With purpose. Look at verse 11. It says this: these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. Let me just tell you, God has gifted you in some form or fashion. He's created you for a purpose, to build up other people. And don't say, oh, well, he's the apostle and he's the prophet and he's the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist. Let me tell you that one of those is hitting you somewhere. If you can teach, are you teaching people to help build them up and to see their life built on the foundation and the purpose and the plan that God has for them so that the brokenness is healed? Or are you going out and telling people the good news? Man, God loves you. He has a place for you. He has a purpose for you. He can heal you. We have to go with purpose. Do you know your purpose? Why did God create you? Why are you here? Let me just remind you, it's not to get a paycheck. God's purpose is always tied to people. People, 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 people. God's purpose is tied to people. Man, I better be praying for people. And it's been convicting as I've been just praying an awful lot and seeking God, and I can't help but just go back to, like, I look at my list, and it's like, it's people. I mean, there's a few things on there, not a whole lot, like 3 or 4 maybe. And then the rest of it are just people, because I'm asking God, like, what do you have? Like, what do you want? And it's just people. My purpose is to see his kingdom come in people's lives. If you know somebody whose life is broken and messed up, let's not stand around at the brokenness. Y'all ever see wrecks on the interstate and you see everybody like slowing down because somebody had a fender bender? It's because everybody's doing what? Rubbernecking. Somebody said it, rubbernecking. Y'all have heard that term? It's like, there's a fender bender, there's a cop with lights on, and there's somebody who, you know, 2 cars that had a fender bender, and like, I've been in traffic for 45 minutes on the Shafalaya Basin Bridge, which is from the pit of hell and heaven all at the same time. Thank goodness we don't have to P-Row anymore. But like, 45 minutes because somebody had a fender bender, seriously? Because it is human nature to stare at brokenness. Don't do that. No, God's created you to see his kingdom come in the brokenness of your life and other people's lives. Purpose, number 8, verse 14, says, then we will no longer be immature like children. Isn't it kids that point out every anomaly in somebody? I mean, it's like the kid that goes, "Ugh, they ugly, mama." Come on, have y'all experienced that? Kids will say the darndest things. Wasn't there an old game show? I vaguely remember something like that. Kids will say the darndest things. Kids will just say things like, "Oh, that ugly, that one was ugly, mama." I'm like, don't look at that lady's brokenness. Maybe she got punched in the face or something. I don't know. That's immaturity, isn't it? Kids point, they stare, they laugh. How many Christians, how many of us point out the brokenness in others, stare at the brokenness in others, laugh at the brokenness in others? "It's so messed up." That's got to grieve the heart of God. We will no longer be immature like children. When? When we embrace the purpose that God's called us to build up people. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Look at verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. How should we handle the broken? With truth. With truth. People need to be told the truth, but they need to be told the truth in love, from a place of compassion, with humility, recognizing that the very broken thing in them could really be me, with gentleness rather than like aggressiveness. "Don't you know that you're just a stupid moron? Can't you see it?" No, they can't. They really can't see it. They can't see why they're broken so often. They just can't. And then you're there and you have a pretty clear picture, but they can't see themselves and their own brokenness. I mean, come on. Now, if you had a big old smudge of grease on your face right now, you wouldn't know it. Would you? You ever seen, you've probably done this. Lord, I've done this to people, multiple people. Like, when they're sleeping and like out cold, and sometimes it's because maybe there was some chemicals or something involved. Like, you go and paint their face with like marks a lot. Y'all never done that? Yeah, and then they wake up like, "Oh," and everybody's laughing. Because we can't see the things that are close enough. So close to us. If you had a big grease stain on your face right now, I mean, wouldn't it be pretty rude of me to go, "Stupid people don't realize." No, they don't realize. They were out cold like a light. They didn't know what happened. People don't realize oftentimes the level of their brokenness. I need to speak truth, but in love, with compassion, humility, gentleness, patience. Why? Because truth spoken in love can be received. Truth spoken not in love. Oh man, I got a great story that's so inappropriate. I'd really love to tell it. Do it. No. "Hey, Lisa, where's my wife?" "It's Janet. Can I tell that story or no?" At the dinner table. "Pastor Josh, do you know this story?" How can I not use names. Okay, I'm with a father figure and a mother figure and a sister figure at a dinner table. How's that work? This was a long time ago. My dad is a totally different man. And, oh, this is so bad. Can I tell this story? Yeah, if you have to ask, I probably shouldn't tell it. You're going to love it. This is what happens when you tell the truth, not in love. And so my house growing up was kind of like a hospital. Like, broken people would come because my mom was just ministering to people constantly and praying with them. And so there was this lady who was in her probably mid to late 40s, and she wasn't the most beautiful, and she's maybe, I don't know, probably maybe 200 pounds overweight. She's rotund. And so she's crying at the dinner table, and we're all sitting there. It's kind of awkward because it's like family dinner on a Sunday after church, and she's crying how, like, there's no man in her life. And, like, it's not like the first time that she's been here doing this. In fact, it's like that whole week she had been crying about the same thing. And I think my dad just finally had enough about, like, why no man would look at her, why no man. And so we're just eating, and the awkwardness is, like, you could cut it with a knife. It was just very, very awkward. And I can just sense my dad about to say something. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like a teenager, and like, I'm like, this is going to be bad. Dad, please don't. But he's frustrated. This woman has been taking up my mom's time and been at the house, and we're eating supper. I don't know why no man will look at me. And it's quiet. You know, she just kind of muffly cry by herself. And my dad is kind of not even looking up from his plate. He's eating. He says, well, Janet, did you ever think it was because you're fat? Now, I told you it was inappropriate and horrible. How do you think that went over? My dad is a different man, thank the Lord. God has touched him. Janet, sadly, committed. No, I'm joking. No, that's not. But I bet she wanted to. Do you think that encouraged her to change? Question. Of course not. How many of somebody has told y'all something that's just, it may be true, but it's ugly? Yeah, I know my ears are big, all right? I know they might look like car doors open, but like, you don't have to point that out. I'm quite aware. I don't need you to. We speak the truth, but in love. Why? What's it say? Verse 15. Growing in every way more and more like Christ. We speak the truth so that people can become what God has called them to be. Pretty much end of message. Here's the overriding theme, though. How do we handle the broken? With love. With love. You can't look on someone with compassion without love. We have to have love for people. We have to have love for people. I'm just convicted. I want to have love for people. Have people done you wrong? Have people hurt you? Join the club. What's the default on that? If we left to our own devices, I don't want to be around people because they hurt, because they humiliate, because they shame. May we have love. How do you develop love? You ever wonder how you develop love? Man, that guy I've prayed for months, and we've been praying for with our group. I got to see him and talk to him yesterday. And I'm a pretty stoic dude. I get like riled up, and like if there's an emotion that's going to boil over for me, previous in my history has been, it's either really joyous excitement or extreme anger. It's never like an overwhelming love and compassion. And as I'm talking to this guy, I'm like, am I choking? What is this? Oh God, what's happening? I'm like, I'm in this emotional, and I'm like, I'm sorry, this doesn't, how did that happen? Because through the days, weeks, and months of praying for him, God gave me a heart for him. Love can be deepened. Heck, love can be developed. Set your heart on the person that you know is broken and begin to pray for them. You may hate them, but if you pray for them every day for a good chunk of time, at the end of a year, if I was a betting man, I'd bet everything that I have that at the end of that year, you no longer hate them. At the end of 2 years, you could probably stand them a little bit. At the end of 3 years, I'd be willing to bet everything. You really have developed a love for them simply because you began to sincerely and genuinely pray for them. This is it. Last thing. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. If I could speak and of angels, but didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. I know all of God's secret plans. Don't just know them, I understand them. But if I don't love others, I'm nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, if I even sacrifice my body, I could boast about it. I've given everything away. I've given away organs. I've been a bone marrow donor. I've given away a kidney. I have gone without so that those who were poor could have given them everything. But you don't have love? We're nothing. It says, love never gives up. There's no lost causes. I'm going to say that. Love never gives up. Don't look at the addict in your life and give up on him. Don't do it. Never. Love never gives up. And don't let people make you feel bad because you're still holding on to hope. Because love never loses faith. Love always believes the best. Love is always hopeful. It is okay to believe the best about the people that you know that are broken and have hope in your heart. I just can't hold on to it anymore. The Bible says hope deferred, it makes you sick. Listen to me, it may make you sick, but may it drive you to prayer. Because love is always hopeful, and love endures through every circumstance. Let love be your highest goal. How do you handle the broken? Love. So here's my charge and my challenge to you. The broken people around you, don't stare at them. Don't gawk at them. Love them. I don't even know how to do that. Here's how you develop love. Pray for them. Just pray for them. Write their name down in a notebook. And spend 30 seconds a day praying for your list of people. That's a good start. It's 30 seconds more than a lot of people are doing. You know what you'll find? If you really begin to do that, like every day with the right heart, like, God, I want to have a heart for this person. I want to have a heart for these people. Like, I believe that you're going to do something. I don't want to lose faith. I want to be hopeful. God will put something on you. His love never gives up. Love is always hopeful. It never loses faith. It endures through every circumstance. It never fails. Let love be your highest goal. That's all I have. Challenge, pray, pray. Let me just tell you, I need your prayers. Our leadership team needs your prayers. This church needs your prayers. If you're having problems coming up with a list of broken people, come see me. If you know someone that is broken and needs prayer, it's not there. I took it out. Grab one of those cards in the seat back in front of you. Grab me that. Thank you. Fill it out. We changed the service flow a little bit last couple weeks and kind of halfway got it right. On Sunday, and we went from getting 3 to 4 cards of service. Last week, we got 32 cards. like 6 people want to be baptized, like 7 people gave their life to Christ, and a ton of people that are going, man, just pray for me. Fill out a prayer request. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's be people who pray. Heck, and if you're a morning person, you can come up and pray with me 6 o'clock here in the morning. Most people won't. That's all right. I know most people aren't morning people, and even if you're a morning person, 6 o'clock can be early. I don't care when we do it. We just have to pray. So let's pray. Then we'll be dismissed. Father, Father, I just pray that you put a burden in our heart to see your kingdom come and to see the broken healed and made whole, to see people who are far from you brought to you. Father, I just pray that you put people in our heart, you flash faces in our mind, and may we realize it's not just a weird thought, but it's you reminding us of the people that you're putting on our heart, our soul, our mind to pray for them. Lord, I just pray for those that are far from you, that they come to know you, that this is a light in the darkness, that our lives are light in the darkness, that you remind us that this building isn't a church, but we're the church, and that we're to be the light in the darkness. And so, Father, I just pray that your light shines into every dark corner of our own hearts. And Lord, every area of brokenness is revealed and made whole in your light. That, Father, that through and through, that we are pure and holy before you. We're set apart for your work. And Father, that people who have been bound up with addiction, they find freedom. People who are in broken relationships find wholeness and fulfillment in you first individually, and then in the relationship in which they've committed. And Father, I just pray for those that are dealing with depression and rejection. I just pray right now that there's healing over them, that they come to find that you've already called them by name, that you know them, that you love them, that in you there's acceptance. May they run to you and run from the darkness all around them. May joy wash over those that have dealt with depression, that broken spirit of darkness, sadness, and selfishness is broken off of them. Father, may we be people who run to you, and we take as many people with us as we can. Father, give us a heart for you, and give us a heart for the broken. In Jesus' name, let's stand up. Everybody said, amen. Love y'all. Please be praying for Sunday. Pretty pumped about it. It's going to be great. God bless. Please be praying. Thank you.